Christ is given, Jesus Christ, your Son, give thanks.
In July of 2018, I shared a message, The Church's Purpose, at another business meeting. I like about once a year to remind us the purpose of the church. And since I usually have just 15 or 20 minutes when we have our business meeting, it's a good reminder of why we have Sumter Bible Church, why the Lord has established the church. And so we're going to look at these this evening, and we'll finish up our study, or at least continue it, in Galatians next Sunday night. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the church that you have founded, both the local church and many of those around, and then the universal church, as we call it, the family of God, about which we've sung. And we thank you that regardless of which local churches we attend, all of us who are in Christ, believers in Christ, that we all belong to the church, and you have commissioned the church, and you've told us what you want for us. So help us tonight in this brief study that we would be about what you have told us to do as a local body of believers. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And we come on Sunday mornings, and we come to worship, and then we go out, and we have our individual ministries that the Lord has given to us. Someone has likened the coming to church together on Sunday as sort of like a football huddle, where you come in together and you get your plans together, and then we go out, because God has commissioned us as a church of certain things that we're to do, and with ordinance, but also individually we go out, and of course he's told us to witness. And there's a threefold purpose of the church, and of course this is stated on our website as well. We have a responsibility and a purpose to the sinners, and that is to evangelize them. We have a responsibility to the saints, and that is to edify and exhort them. And we have a responsibility to the Lord, the Savior, to exalt him in everything we do. So we're going to look at these verses that I have here, and I'll put them up on the screen for you so that we can see what God has told us to do as it relates to the unsaved people, to believers, not just within our church, but to all believers. And both of those things together should be exalting to the Lord. And so our responsibility to the world is to evangelize. In Matthew 28, which we often refer to as the Great Commission, it says Jesus came, he spake to them, and he said, all power, or the word means authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And so God has told us that we're to go out and we are to make disciples there. We are to evangelize there. We'll look at that word here, proclaiming. So whenever we go out into the world, he says, you're to go out proclaiming the gospel. If you'll notice right in the middle of that word evangelization, you see the word angel. And we know that the word angel means messenger. And so God has a message. God has good news. And he's told us as a church, we are to go out into all the world and give the wonderful good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 refers to that as the gospel there. And so there are a lot of other truths in the Bible, but the gospel is about Jesus dying and being buried and raising from the dead to give us salvation. And so we go and proclaim it. People may hear it and receive it. They may reject it, but God says that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to proclaim the gospel to the lost. Not only are we to proclaim it, but we're to do that with power. When we saw that verse just a little bit ago from Matthew, he says, all power is given unto me, go ye therefore. Therefore is connected to our going. So whenever we say, usually not this bluntly, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, some people, you might need to be that blunt with it there, but somebody might say, well, who are you to say that if I don't trust Jesus, I'm going to hell? There are a lot of religions. And so we look to this, and Jesus says, all authority and power is given to me. And Jesus said, therefore, because of that, you go. He has given us that authority. So whenever we say that Jesus is the only way to be saved and all other ways lead to destruction and hell, we're doing it based upon the authority that he has given to us. God has given us that power, that authority to go, and the power of the Holy Spirit, because God has put the Holy Spirit of God in every believer. And so some people might be a little more bashful than others to share the gospel, but that shouldn't stop us. It shouldn't be an excuse to disobey the Great Commission, because the Holy Spirit will give us power to do what God has commanded us to do. So we want to go into the world and we want to preach the gospel or proclaim the gospel, share Christ with everyone, with every opportunity we get. Our responsibility to the world is to evangelize. Now, there may be some time to time where unsaved people come into the church and they might hear the gospel and be saved here. But the church time of worship is wonderful to invite friends so they can hear the gospel, but that's not the primary purpose of the church for evangelization. When we come together as a church, we have a ministry to each other, and that is edification. Ephesians 4 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but just the opposite, that which is good to the use of edifying. The word edify means to build up, to strengthen, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What grieves the Holy Spirit of God? That very first thing he says not to do. When corrupt communication comes out of our mouths, just like in the days of Moses, whenever the people were murmuring and complaining, that's corrupt communication. And that doesn't strengthen the believer. That doesn't help the believer there. And so we grieve the Spirit of God whenever we are having corrupt communication. But God wants us not just to not do that. He wants us to do something positive. Don't just be silent, but to minister grace to the hearers with edification by giving a good word. So we prevent evil talk, and secondly, we provoke love and good works. Hebrews 10:24 says we're to do that. We are to provoke. That word provoke means to stir up. And oftentimes within churches, you know what people are stirring up? Too often they're stirring up trouble, aren't they? But God says we're not to stir up trouble. We're to be united as brothers and sisters in Christ with the purpose of winning the lost whenever we go out from these walls. We are to be united as brothers and sisters in Christ when we come together to stir up love, to stir up good works, to encourage other people to do that. Some people might think that, well, I can't do this. That's so-and-so's gift. And we can encourage them to do that and get involved, because with the Holy Spirit's power, there's no limit to what we're able to do. We are very limited if we depend upon our own knowledge and our own strength. But if we depend upon him to work in and through us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we are to edify one another. We're to build up one another. We're to encourage one another. So we are to edify, to build up, but we are to exhort one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And sin is very deceitful. And though we have, as Christians, been saved from sin, if we're not careful, it can deceive us and it can harden us. And it's so important that we continue to encourage one another. If someone is missing from church and you don't see them, you know, give them a call or write them a note or email them or something and encourage them daily, because it may be the last day we have. And the Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, says, give us this day our daily bread. So every day is a new day that God has given, and we ought to be looking at brothers and sisters and say, who can I exhort today? Who can I encourage today? And I've shared with you before, especially on Wednesday night when we were studying, you know, sometimes we just don't feel like it, do we? I'm not feeling so great myself. I need encouragement. I need to be comforted. Somebody needs to come along and comfort me. But we need to remember that biblical principle of sowing and reaping. So if you want encouragement, the best way to get it is to give it. Because whatever we plant, that's what we're going to get back. And so be an encourager. And as you encourage others, you'll receive encouragement back from them as well. So we have that purpose and responsibility to exhort one another. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, don't you love that phrase? Nevertheless, God, that comforts those that are cast down, he comforted us by the coming of Titus. And so here's Titus, who was an encourager. They were comforted by Titus. Where did Titus get his comfort? Verse 7. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. And so they comforted Titus, and it had this chain reaction, this domino effect, and they had comforted him, he had comforted Paul, and he says, so that with fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. And both of those things, the rest and the rejoicing, they come as we encourage one another. People need a rest of mind. They need that exhortation, that encouragement. And we can do that. We can be a source of encouragement just as Titus was, just as the church was to Titus. And it can have that domino effect that we can continue to encourage believers. Because in this wicked day in which we live, and there's so much fighting against Christianity today, we need to encourage each other. We need to support one another in the work of the Lord among the believers. And thirdly, we have a purpose and a responsibility to God, and that is to exalt him. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, which means to exalt him, to lift him up, to magnify him, to make sure he is the one getting the praise, not Titus or any individual, but God is the one getting the glory. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And that's what we do as a church. And in these three verses, we see three things how we exalt the Lord. We exalt the Lord with the praise of our lips. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so we should be praising the Lord. When we are with brothers in Christ, we praise the Lord and share what he's done for us. We can even do that with unsaved people. And the Holy Spirit can use that to bring conviction to their heart, to bring them to salvation. And so we bless the Lord. His praise is in our mouth. But the praise shouldn't just be in our mouths. We certainly need to speak and give forth praise to God with words, but also it needs to be with the purity of our lives. Verse 2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So we have our mouth, our lips that are praising God, but the soul represents the entire life. And my entire life ought to be lived so that it is bringing glory to God because of the purity of our lives. And thirdly, verse 3, we also exalt the Lord with his people. He says, let us exalt his name together. So whenever we come together as a church, we come to strengthen one another, to edify, to encourage one another. If lost people come in here, we want to be sure they hear the gospel and they have opportunity to be saved. But in all of these things, we want to exalt the Lord. We want to do that as a church when we come together corporately. We want to do it individually. Probably about a month or so ago, I was reading a local youth pastor's comment on Facebook. He asked a question, actually. And the question, I don't know if it was the best question, but anyway, I'll tell you what he put. He asked the question, which is more important, worshiping the Lord corporately on Sunday morning or a Wednesday night Bible study? And so I said, well, that could just, I said, my first thought was a Wednesday night Bible study with God's people is corporate worship. We might, in our church, we might not have music. So whenever we gather together to pray or to study God's word, that is corporate worship. And it's important that we come together and do that. And so as a body of believers, we come together and we exalt the Lord. And we want the Lord to be exalted in our church and how wonderful it is, the scripture says, when brethren dwell together in unity. And I thank the Lord for the unity of the Spirit that he's given to Sumter Bible Church. And may the Lord help us as a congregation to continue through our missions program to evangelize the lost. But we can't just give financially and remove the personal responsibility, can we? We have that personal responsibility to share the gospel to the lost. And then we need to continue to encourage one another within the corporate worship and outside. And in all of these things we do, we want to exalt the Lord, even in our business meeting. Let's pray and we'll have that brief meeting. Father, we thank you for the church that you have founded. And you said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to be on the offensive. We need to be marching and carrying the gospel to the lost and continuing to encourage soldiers of Christ in this battle together so that God could receive all the glory through our mouths and through our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.